You're listening to Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
Let's do some news, find out what's happening out in the world. Sean is here with the news on this chilly Tuesday morning.
You are not kidding.
Yeah.
We will take a look at what some of the different world leaders in the world making headlines for. And I'm also going to tell you when Thanksgiving travel will be its worst. So be ready for that.
That's good to know.
News brought to you by Huffman & Huffman. $1.3 million for a car accident. $3.5 million for a commercial truck accident. Accidents do happen. But when one does, call Huffman & Huffman, the brothers-in-law, at 422-HELP. I will stay with this just right away. I'm going to give you a heads up. If your turkey's not already in the fridge, you're behind the curveball. That should already be in the fridge. And make your casseroles today to save yourself some time
yes.
on Thursday.
Yes.
Just want to help you out a little bit if you don't already have a plan.
Yes.
Just save yourself some
time. They'll keep. You'll
be okay. Absolutely they will.
Start getting that done, man.
Yep. We will start with this. So this has been the big story for the last couple of days. Daryl E. Brooks, 39 years old of Milwaukee, has been identified as the suspect who drove that SUV through the Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where five people were left dead and 48 injured, according to authorities. Police say that Brooks was in a domestic disturbance just moments before this all happened. Waukesha Police Chief Dan Thompson said,
"We have information that the suspect prior to the incident was involved in a domestic disturbance, which was just minutes prior, and the suspect left that scene just prior to our arrival to that domestic disturbance. There's no pursuit that led up to this incident. This is not a terrorist event."
He is trying to state that they didn't chase him into the parade.
All right, so, and it's not a terrorist event.
Right, and it is not a terrorist event. There's no evidence that he knew anyone in the parade, nothing like that.
Yeah, but this guy, it's just bad news all the way around.
Yeah, he really, really is. They did say that he was, I've got it a little further down in the story here.
Yeah.
He had been arrested previously and posted bail on November 11th in relation to charges for domestic abuse, which is from when he was accused of running over a woman with his car.
The same car.
Yeah, while she was walking through a gas station.
Yeah, that's his ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. That, according to the complaint, his bail at the time was only placed at $1,000, which the Milwaukee DA's office says they should not have recommended such a low bail because he was also in trouble for bail jumping previously back in 2020. So a litany of mistakes here, it seems like, that led this guy to being back out on the streets.
Oh, and now he's wanted, I guess, in Las Vegas for something?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. But
it's like he's a horrible. Oh, and he has a record as a sex offender.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Yeah. Wow, all right, so.
Yeah.
That's
You go. That was on the overnight news on ABC.
It just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
Just keeps getting better. So obviously they're still looking at that. He's being charged with.
It's awful.
Yeah, oh, it's got awful. He's facing five charges of intentional homicide at this point. That story always shakes me up, but they're going to keep developing on that. Again, we have way more details today than we did yesterday.
Yep.
But the president and everybody spoke out about it. Speaking of the president, he announced that more than 90% of federal workers have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine by the deadline set by the government. The Biden administration announced in September that all federal workers were required to undergo vaccination with no test-out option unless they secured a medical or religious exemption. A U.S. official said the vast majority of federal workers are fully vaccinated and that a smaller number have pending or approved exceptions to the mandate. The official spoke on the condition of anonymity. They said the number is somewhere close to like 95%, so they did pretty good in that regard.
Yeah, yeah.
And President Joe Biden and his wife Jill were getting into the holiday spirit as the First Lady opened the holiday season Monday by accepting an 18.5-foot Fraser fir that will be the centerpiece of the couple's first Christmas at the White House. The Bidens then traveled to North Carolina's Fort Bragg on the evening to celebrate Friendsgiving with service members and military families.
Yeah,
which was
it was
nice.
Last night.
Yeah. The Bidens walked behind the serving tables, donned gloves and aprons, and started dishing out meals. The couple's plans to leave Washington on Tuesday to resume a family tradition of spending Thanksgiving on Nantucket Island in Massachusetts. Now, while our president's doing that...
Yeah, the worst hotel I ever stayed in, by the way, Fort Bragg. Just back to you.
Okay.
The night's in. Take my word for it. Don't do it.
I'm gonna. I can back you up on that one. That's.
I watched a prostitute being arrested in a parking lot. In the space under my door.
Yeah.
I could see the parking lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there was that much space, dude.
Well, they want you to get a good look at whoever's there to murder you.
Yeah,
I mean,
kind of. You know, don't want to be disparaging, but, it is what it is. It's it's not an opinion. This is a fact. All right. Back to you.
The president... The president of El Salvador has announced plans to build the world's first Bitcoin city.
Yes!
Funded by Bitcoin-backed bonds. The plan there is to entice people to come to the city and make your money in crypto. The city would be powered via geothermal power from a volcano, and they would have no taxes except for a value-added tax, which is kind of a goods and services tax.
Yeah.
So that's the only tax they're talking about. They say half of that would be used to fund the bonds issued to build the city, and the other half would pay for things that you need to have happen, like, you know, stuff like garbage collection or road work or anything like that. They did say that the public infrastructure is going to cost about 300,000 bitcoins to make happen.
All right.
I looked that up this morning. As of this morning, that would be just shy of $17 billion.
This is a crazy, wild roll of the dice. Mm-hmm. The guy running El Salvador is like 40 years old.
Yes.
Got the nicely manicured beard, wears the baseball hat backwards. I mean, he is crypto guy.
Oh, he was speaking at a crypto convention or something like that.
They're all in on this thing. But, man, what a gamble. It's your whole country.
Yes. Yeah, what's funny is he's actually a relatively popular president in El Salvador.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is causing him an issue because this is causing protests against the government.
Well, again, it's a big swing. As a currency, it's worth a lot, but it's very unstable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, going forward, I don't know. And they're talking, I've read his plan. The plan is in detail in places. And a lot of it is to buy up a bunch of it and sit on it for 5 years.
Right.
We're not going to trade it. In fact, we're going to get it out of the marketplace and try and drive up the prices. Using the backbone of an entire nation's gross domestic product to spend to take all this Bitcoin out of there. Did you see the special sauce on the Bitcoin city, though?
Which part?
What's going to power it.
Yeah, the volcano.
A volcano. Power. Yep. Yes. We're building it around a volcano. Again,
now, that won't
predictable?
Go bad.
I don't know. I kind of like the Dr. Evil segment of this where the volcano powers the city.
Right. Again, it would cost, like you said, the plan is to pull some Bitcoin out of the market and sit on it. As of this morning, one Bitcoin is about a little over $56,000.
Right.
They're hoping that if they pull it out and sit on it for about 5 years, it'll be worth about $1 million by that time.
They're hopeful keeps going up.
Yeah, that they can end up making a profit on those things they pulled out. So that's the hope anyway. Again, it is leading to protests against the government as a result, as the people are less confident in crypto than he is.
Well, so I grabbed this story from last week.
Okay.
$200 billion wiped out of the Bitcoin market, out of the cryptocurrency market in a single day. $200 billion.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Bitcoin was over 60 grand.
Hmm.
In 24 hours, knocked out 10% of Ethereum. BNB, Solana, Cardano, Ripples, XRP. These are all names. I don't even know half of these.
No.
These are all cryptos.
I knew two of them, you said.
And they lost $200 billion in 24 hours. So, and may have rebounded already.
Maybe.
You said Bitcoin's now 56. It was up over 60 when this article was written.
Yeah, so clearly there was a drop at some point.
Terrible.
But when I checked it this morning, it was up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it must have gone further down and come back up.
Imagine your whole nation's economy.
Yeah.
With that behind it. It's like, wow, this could go all over the road.
I remember seeing a spoof of what it was like when when Wall Street crashed back in the day.
Yeah.
And it was just the stock market, and they would have all these guys jump out of windows, and they were attached to lines, and it would pull them back up so that when the next tour bus came by, they could see it again. And I'm like, that's kind of how I would envision it in El Salvador as the price of Bitcoin goes up and down.
Yeah.
So, so that's what the president of El Salvador is doing. The prime minister, Boris Johnson of the UK, of Great Britain, has hailed preschool favorite Peppa Pig as an inspiring model for the UK economy. Johnson told a conference of business groups of the Confederation of British Industry on Monday that he would champion a green industrial revolution for Britain. During a rambling speech, he lost his notes, quoted Lenin, and referred to the biblical story of Moses, in addition to talking about going to visit the Peppa Pig World Park. I'm going to play this for you just because it's so awkward when he loses his notes.
Really?
And then just decides randomly to go, oh, I went to Peppa Pig World.
We have information that the suspect was involved in domestic...
No, you're not Boris,
that's
sir.
The guy from Wisconsin.
Sir,
thank you.
You are not Boris.
We're being a little...
Where the heck did Boris go?
I don't know. Boris has a British accent.
I want to accept this.
Nope, I don't know.
It's not Boris.
He's supposed to be Boris, but Boris isn't there.
Fan of using fiction as a way to dig myself out of a real-life situation. I mean, I could Forrest Gump my way through life. I get that. But when you're like a world leader and you're quoting a fictitious character as being some sort of a model, you realize it's totally made up.
Right. Oh,
you know this, right?
Yes.
Just so we're clear.
I think I may have found Boris. Let's try Boris again.
So with safer streets, with great local schools.
I've lost it.
Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Yesterday I went, as we all must, to Peppa Pig World. I don't know if you've been to Peppa Pig World. Who's been to Pans? I've been anybody who's been to Peppa Pig World. But I loved it. And Peppa Pig World is very much my kind of place. But the real lesson for me going to Peppa Pig World, I'm surprised you haven't been there. I think that is pure genius, don't you, Peppa Pig?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you can even hear the news people laughing in the background.
Wow.
He starts doing crowd work. Hey, where are you from? You know.
Did you drive in? I say, did you drive in?
Yes.
Hello.
He did say that Peppa Pig was a symbol of the power of UK creativity that had been exported to 180 countries and spawned theme parks.
Well, see, now
in the
I
US.
Know why he landed on Peppa Pig, because he was out of everything else.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't get that part.
Yeah.
Okay, now I get it.
He once he lost the notes and started, he just kind of had to find somewhere to go, and that's where he landed. But, I mean, he's not wrong. Again, it's been exported to 180 countries and spawned theme parks in the U.S., China, as well as in England. It is a very big, successful
Have
thing
you
for
been?
Him. As we all must.
Have you been? You must.
As we all must.
You absolutely must.
Yes.
Does anyone have a comb? Have you seen my hair?
Oh, my God.
Do you have a comb?
He perpetually has bedhead. We know that we're in the holiday week here. Thanksgiving is coming.
Yes.
Travel is going to be crazy. AAA is begging you to slow down and please be patient as you're driving.
As we've already evidenced this morning.
Yes.
Any number of wrecks.
Especially with estimates that we're going to be reaching pre-pandemic levels of people traveling on the road this year. As more people will be traveling, they say that crashes and deaths have increased since 2019, specifically here in the Hampton Roads area, talking about.
Wow.
In Hampton Roads, our number of crashes jumped significantly. They talk about 2019 to now because in 2020, nobody was on the roads, really.
Okay.
So in 2019, they said we had 38 people in the seven cities that died as a result of a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
This year, that number has jumped up to 59 already.
Yeah.
So we're almost, we're
looking
at doubling
good.
It. No. In fact, of all the seven cities, Suffolk's the only one that saw a drop in fatalities.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. They said people are definitely less patient and then more apt to speeding because they were able to get places faster during the pandemic because there was less traffic and less congestion. They did want to remind you that driving fast is not going to help you get there really any faster. They said if you do the math, you have to drive 100 miles to save roughly 5 minutes if you're going like 80 miles per hour instead of 75.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. That extra 5 miles per hour is not going to help.
It's only going to help you over a long trip.
Right. Yeah. And even then, maybe still don't do it. And if you're going to be driving on Thanksgiving, you're going to want to get on the road early because the traffic this Thursday is expected to peak between noon and 3 p.m. And the best time to be on the road is before 11 a.m.
Sure.
Here are the best times to be on the road over the next couple of days. Traffic should be the lowest it's going to be on Wednesday after 9 p.m., Thursday before 11 a.m., Friday before 11 a.m., and on Saturday and Sunday before noon. The worst times on the road are Wednesday between noon and 8,
mm-hmm.
Thursday between noon and 3, Friday between 1 and 4, Saturday between 2 and 7, and Sunday between 1 and 7. So basically, the later in the day you're trying to leave, the worse it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you wait till overnight. That's going to be your good game plan for getting where you want to go this year.
If you get up early on Thursday, there's usually nobody on the road.
Yeah, at this point. And then, like they were saying there, Thursday before 11 a.m. even. That's not even early.
Yeah.
That's just don't sleep all day is all that is.
Yeah, Thanksgiving Thursday was like my fastest ever trip to D.C. There was no one.
Oh, really?
It was just nobody, dude. I was on the road at like 6, 7 o'clock.
Oh.
Blank.
Well, you're going out of town for Thanksgiving, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you were.
No,
Christmas.
I'll be out of town at Christmas. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, I couldn't remember.
If you're looking to burgle my house, move that from Thanksgiving to Christmas on your Burgle
Mike,
Rumble's house calendar.
Mike, change it for me real quick. We got to adjust
that over,
the day.
Yeah.
Right. So sorry, I got it wrong there.
No worries.
Around here today, we are looking at sunny with a high near 46. Northwest winds 13 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 23 miles per hour. Mostly clear with a low around 36. And tomorrow, sunny with a high near 49. So it's not going to be much better. Last check, it is 35 degrees outside.
Damn.
Bundle up.
Yeah, that's bad.
With the news, I am Sean Hood for Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
Thank you.